Concordia University Chicago is the distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. We're committed to increasing LCMS faculty and staff members. This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago. If you are a member of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod with excellent professional credentials, please consider applying for our faculty or staff family. Current openings are posted at cuchicago.edu/HR.
That's the hymn, Lord, Help Us Ever to Retain. It sings about that catechism, the doctrine plain. There is something, a genius, to Martin Luther's small catechism, not only in its plain spokenness, but also in its extreme brevity. It is, even against the objections of children who have memorized it, it is very, very small. It is very short. It is brief, and it is to the point. And it's been practical for, well, now 500 years almost. So what is it about? Why was it originally written? And what kind of problems was it written to address? Do those problems still exist today? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We're going to continue our series on the Lutheran Confessions with Pastor Paul McCain, turning to Luther's Small Catechism, an introduction today, its historical roots and what its intent was and how it was actually used. A little bit later, Dr. Russell Dawn will join us. We'll get his response to a recent op-ed in the New York Times titled, Think the Constitution Will Save Us, Think Again. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, a game we like to play with our listeners at the end of a broadcast week. We have four soundbites to play for you. After we've played them and you've listened, you give us your vote for which should be Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Just give us a call, 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address, you can also vote that way, @issuesetc. Or we've left space at our Facebook fan page for you to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, facebook.com/issuesetc. Joining us for our ongoing series on the Lutheran Confessions, introducing Luther's Small Catechism, Pastor Paul McCain, publisher and executive director of editorial for Concordia Publishing House in St. Louis, general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Paul, welcome back.
And it's great to be with you again, Todd.
It wasn't too long ago that we were doing in this very series a series of conversations on Luther's Large Catechism. What's the difference between Luther's large and small catechisms?
Well, a small catechism is shorter. Now, obviously the small catechism is shorter, but I would say the small catechism is very tightly written. It's got a quality of almost poetry to it. Luther basically condensed or distilled every thought he's trying to express, and he does express in the larger catechism. But the small catechism was particularly designed to be memorized. The larger catechism was intended to be used as a supplemental aid for teaching the text of the small catechism. But Luther really did intend for the chief parts and the explanations of the chief parts to be set to memory, or the phrase, which is even better and gets at what we're trying to do, is learn by heart, you know, bury it deep within your heart.
Which came first?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. There's been some debate, and like everything, the answer is a qualify. Well, it depends. What came first, actually, was Luther had the core text of the catechism with probably the explanations printed as large placards or posters, as we would call them today. Then the large catechism came first in the form of a book. Then the small catechism in book form came a few months after the large catechism. So it depends on what you mean. When was it first printed? One could argue that it's a small catechism on posters came first in early 1529. And then the book, the large catechism, came a little later in 1529. And by the end of the year, the small catechism had been printed in book form, or pamphlet form, because it is so short.
Regular guest here on Issues Etc., Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, has often observed that a major problem in Lutheranism today is that pastors are bored with the Book of Concord, the whole Lutheran Confessions, and lay people are bored with the small catechism. Do you agree? And if so, why are lay people bored with the small catechism?
Again, this has been a problem from day one. Luther had to address it immediately and said, you know, even I, as I am in my older age, I have to pray the catechism every single day. And he warns against getting, quote-unquote, bored with the content of the catechism. He says this is an insidious temptation that Satan will throw our way. As for pastors being bored with the Book of Concord, it's impossible for me to comprehend, because I'm never bored with the Book of Concord. I mean, you plug me in and turn me on, and I'll prattle on about the Book of Concord, as you have found out the hard way, Todd, for months, years. I mean, I've basically devoted my life to it in terms of what I try to really focus my learning on. The reason I'm excited about the Book of Concord, the contents of the Lutheran Confessions, because over and over and over again, they articulate the very thing that gives me life, that gives me energy, that inspires me, that comforts me, the gospel of Jesus Christ and the whole full content of the Word of God. I wonder, perhaps, is it pastors are bored with the Book of Concord because they've read it, or are bored about it because they've never had to spend a whole lot of time in diligent study of it? I think the most charitable thing I would want to say is I can't see how you could be bored with the Lutheran Confessions, and just rereading them regularly, you'll always find something new, and it's such a beautiful explanation of God's Word. Sorry, I'm rambling, but this is nothing new. You know, that's one thing we should realize. Please don't, no one should think, oh no, this is a crisis of boredom in the Lutheran Church. It's always been this way. Someone's always going to be bored. The people of Israel in the wilderness got bored with getting free bread every day. Such is fallen human nature.
Do you think a similar explanation, if pastors are bored with the Book of Concord because they don't spend any time in it, they don't read it? I agree. The more it is read and studied, the more fascinating it is. Do you think a similar explanation applies to why lay people often get bored with this small catechism?
Well, I think, you know, it could be too. And if you are taught to regard it only as a textbook that you have to plow through to be confirmed, to get the carrot in front of the horse, so to speak, which is to receive Holy Communion, if it's regarded as a process of learning and then graduating from what you need to know to be a Christian, well, sure. I mean, that's a rather dry, academic, dull, boring approach to what the catechism is to be all about. But Martin Luther always explained that, you know, the catechism is so much more. The catechism is the very heart of what the Bible teaches. I'll just quote here what Luther says, and here I'm quoting from another resource, but it says about the catechism, its daily use should be a new form of the spiritual life and pastoral meditation. Luther described the way he himself daily prayed the catechism, and here's Luther, yet I do as a child who is being taught the catechism every morning, and whenever else I have time, I read and recite word for word the Lord's Prayer, Ten Commandments, Creed, Psalms, etc. I must still read and study the catechism daily. I cannot master it as I wish, but I must remain a child and pupil of the catechism and do it gladly.
So I'm fascinated by the notion of praying the catechism. Go into a little more detail.
Well, yes, this is Herman Sasse once said that the entire Book of Concord itself is the only confession of a church body that can be prayed. But to be even more specific, other church theologians talking about the beauty of the small catechism. For instance, here's a quote from somebody referring to the small Lutheran catechism can be read and spoken throughout with a praying heart. In short, it can be prayed. This can be said of no other catechism. It contains the most definitive doctrine resists every perversion, and still is not polemical. It exhales the purest air of peace. In it is expressed the manliest, most developed knowledge, and yet it admits of the most blissful contemplation a soul may wish for. That's just one observation from somebody. Yeah, it has a quality that it can, and that it can be prayed. And by prayer, we don't, you know, we need to be careful. We're not saying we're going to use it as some kind of a magic formula by which we get God to do what we want him to do, but merely the meditation on the words of the catechism. For instance, and I'll be very specific, if I was forced to choose my favorite part of the whole catechism, it would be the Apostles' Creed and its meaning, and then narrowing down perhaps most of all on the second article and its meaning. I don't think there has been written outside of the Bible anything more beautiful or profound than Luther's explanation of who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us and what he continues to do for us when he put pen to paper and wrote the meaning of the second article of the Apostles' Creed.
It is a sad fact that there are many Lutheran congregations, even within our own confession of faith, the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and pastors who do not use the small catechism to instruct the young or for any other purpose. It might be found in the church library, but it is not part of the curriculum, so to speak. What are your thoughts there?
I think that's a fatal, fatal error. And by fatal, I mean it will lead to the death of a meaningful confession of Lutheranism within a generation or two. And, you know, people do it with the excuse, well, we can't use these old words. This is old language. This doesn't speak to the modern questions. This doesn't speak to the heart of modern man. We need to use something new. Or they say, well, I teach the content. You know, the content I teach is the same. That is, I teach what the catechism teaches, but I don't require even the younger people to become so familiar with it that they learn it by heart. I think that's a dreadful mistake. That's out of character with what the Lutheran Church has always done since the inception of the Church of the Augsburg Confession, where sermons on the catechism were featured regularly throughout the year. People were very familiar with it, and particularly today when in our hymnal we have the small catechism printed out, we have the small catechism available in every format you can imagine. You can get it free on your smartphones. CPH has an app which provides the text of the small catechism for free. There's simply no excuse not to be familiar with it. And the more familiar you are with it, the more you are going to cherish it. So that's a nice way of saying what I'm thinking. Now I'll be more blunt. It is a horrendous act of pastoral malpractice to deprive the congregation of the content of the small catechism. It is malpractice, it's malfeasance, and anybody who does that, in my opinion, should be chased out of town, as Luther suggests, and as he puts it very bluntly, dog poop should be thrown at him. Now, that's Luther. Those are Luther's words, not mine. So if people want to write or call in and be outraged, just read the catechism, and you'll see what I mean.
I have often received, having sat behind this microphone for as long as I have, often received emails from people who say, look, I am coming to the Lutheran faith, and I am looking for a faithful Lutheran congregation, the kind of theology that we hear on the program. I want to find that in a church. And I used to kind of hem and haw about how you figure out what that is. You know, I just say, go talk to the pastor. But now, more often than not, I will respond by saying, you can go in and ask one question, and it will tell you whether you shouldn't go to this church, whether it calls itself Lutheran or not. And that is, do you use Luther's small catechism to instruct the children and the congregation? And if the answer is no, don't go there. Find a different church, ask the same question, and then you can go on to ask other questions. What do you make about that?
I think that's absolutely brilliant. Yeah, bare minimum should be that. And you're right. If there's hemming and hawing around on that, I would go, whoa, I'm not in the right place.
Pastor Paul McCain is our guest. It's our series on the Lutheran Confessions, an introduction to Luther's small catechism today. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about what occasioned the writing of the small catechism.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Issues Etc. returned to the air on June 30th after being canceled by the previous leadership of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod during Holy Week of 2008. For a special 10-year anniversary donation of $100 or more, we'll send you a CD of Issues Etc. listeners' top 12 hymns. You can make an anniversary gift online at issuesetc.org or by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc. and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic? And about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR17. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, a classical Christian education that works.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We are introducing Luther's Small Catechism in our series on the Lutheran Confessions. Pastor Paul McCain is our guest. If you are a fan of Lutheran education, consider opening a car, home, or student loan in August with Lutheran Federal Credit Union. When you open a Lutheran FCU loan to meet your financial needs, Lutheran FCU will give you cash back and give that same amount of money to their Ministry of the Month, Lutheran Education Association, lutheranfcu.org. Good for you, good for the church, Lutheran Federal Credit Union, lutheranfcu.org. Paul, let's talk about what led to the writing of the Small Catechism. There was a guest once who said there wouldn't have been a Small Catechism if the Reformation hadn't gone off the rails early on. What was happening there?
You know, I would correct the comment that the Reformation had gone off the rails. To the contrary, the problem was the Reformation hadn't gotten on the rails. There was this wonderful, you know, high-level formal confession being made, but as it flowed out into the church, things were not clicking. What was going on was now that the congregations in the area where the Reformation was embraced were no longer required to support their clergy, pastors were literally starving to death, and that was the impetus for a visitation throughout Saxony in the mid to late 1500s that really woke Luther up to the horrible situation. Everything he had been trying to teach was not really taking root, and this was a very deliberate effort to go out and try to get things filtered into the various congregations. You know, preachers didn't know the content of the faith. People were using the declaration of the free forgiveness of sins in Christ, you can't earn your way to heaven, as an excuse to just kind of run wild and to become libertine, become unconcerned about their good works that the new life in Christ empowers us to perform and calls us to do.
What did they find as the Reformation, as you say, kind of struggled to get on the rails? What did they find the situation to be?
Well, Luther sums up his reaction to what he found when he made these visits. Good God, what misery I beheld. There were situations that were far too common where the clergymen in the small villages and rural areas were hardly able to articulate any of the Reformation insights, and it was so bad that the solution was, if they can't preach a sermon competently on their own, just have them read one of Luther's sermons. and the people were ignorant. The clergy, in some cases, couldn't even recite the Ten Commandments. I'm not talking about Luther's explanations. I'm talking about just the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, the Creed, where if they could recite them, they were simply rattling through the Latin with or without understanding or comprehension. I mean, Todd, we have to remember that during the communion service that lay people experienced under the Roman Catholic Church, the words of institution were whispered, or not even really said out loud. They were said sub voce, that kind of almost mumbled and muttered, because it was kind of a secret formula. So people wouldn't even have a chance to hear the words of institution. So things were really, really quite dreadful.
Was this the result of men who were now Lutheran pastors having been priests before and completely unprepared in the Word of God, the basics of the Word of God, which is nothing other than the content of the Small Catechism?
Yes, they simply were not equipped to comprehend and to articulate the gospel, the doctrine of justification, of course, but everything that's implied with that. You know, Luther in 1528 had said that a boy or girl 15 now knew more about the Word of God, quote, than all the universities and doctors before, because the true catechism was being taught, namely the Lord's Prayer, Creed, Ten Commandments, what confession is, baptism, prayer, the cross, living, dying, sacrament of the altar. So if a child had mastered and comprehended that, Luther was basically asserting he or she have more understanding of what God's Word is all about than the clergy that came previous to them.
What about the state of the people? That is, Luther is always a pastor at heart, and he and the other leaders of the Reformation, what did they observe in the lives of the people that shocked and concerned them?
Well, this was exactly the problem. Luther's passionate concern was always for teaching the faith. And in fact, Luther himself personally was very involved in this. In the Wittenberg congregation, Luther was one of the chief preachers on the catechism, the parts of the catechism. And again, we need to get our nomenclature straight right off the bat. The traditional understanding of the word catechism involved the text of the Ten Commandments, text of the Lord's Prayer, and then the Creed. Those three parts were the core text known as the catechism. Luther then wrote explanations for all that, but these things were not even learned. And that's why in 1525, Luther commissioned what he called the Children's Catechism, using the term catechism for the very first time, and he asked two of his colleagues, Justus Jonas and John Agricola, to do the work, but he wasn't satisfied with what they did. And finally, Luther took it upon himself, after preaching a number of sermon series on these core texts, to produce his own text. And, you know, again, what really ignited his passion for this, and here I can quote him, Luther wrote after doing these visits throughout the territory of Saxony, wherever he went, he said this: "The deplorable, miserable condition which I discovered lately when I too was a visitor has forced and urged me to prepare this catechism or Christian doctrine in this small, plain, simple form. Mercy! Good God, what manifold misery I beheld! The common people have no knowledge whatsoever of Christian doctrine, and alas, many pastors are altogether incapable and incompetent to teach. Nevertheless, all maintain that they are Christians, yet they cannot even recite the Lord's Prayer, or the Creed, or the Ten Commandments. They live like dumb brutes and irrational swine."
Luther is known for his hyperbole, but I take it in this case he's speaking with spiritual metaphor, that a person who claims to be a Christian and does not have this simple knowledge and understanding, I'm going to try to say it delicately, but I'll say it the way maybe Luther might have said it, cannot claim the name Christian.
No, I mean, now, let's be careful what we're saying. If you've never been offered the opportunity to even be aware of the content of Scripture, the content of these basic texts, you know, of course we're not saying, unless you can recite this by memory from your heart, at a drop of a hat, you're not a Christian, okay? People always want to jump to the extreme to avoid the obvious, don't they? Oh, you can't say that. If I just say Jesus is my Savior, then I'm a Christian. Okay, let's just set aside that kind of simplistic argumentation. That's begging the question. The point being, if people refuse to learn, refuse to set these things to heart, refuse to do what the Lord Jesus Christ told us to do. He doesn't say when he gave us the Lord's Prayer. It's very careful to look at the wording, and it comes as a surprise sometimes when people do take a careful look at the text. The Lord's Prayer is a model for prayer, yes, but Jesus didn't say, when you pray, pray like this. He said, when you pray, say. That couldn't be more clear, and he gives us the Our Father, the Lord's Prayer. The Creed is simply a very short summary of what the essential teaching of the Bible is, and for goodness sake, the Ten Commandments, the Lord expects us to have those in our minds, on our hearts, on our lips, to teach them, to discuss them. Sometimes we choose to make things much more complicated than they are because we are trying to find desperately any way to excuse ourselves from learning these things and living with them and letting them sink deeply into our heart.
Pastor Paul McCain is our guest on this Friday, August the 10th. It's our series on the Lutheran Confessions, an introduction to Luther's small catechism. When we come back, you cannot believe what you don't know.
No one wants his or her life to end meaninglessly, and that is certainly what happens if there is no life after death or final judgment.
International human rights attorney Dr. John Warwick Montgomery talking about his presentation at the Fall 2018 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Religions other than Christianity provide no assurance in this regard. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is at the very heart of Christianity, and is the most compelling reason to believe the claims of Christ to be God come to earth for the salvation of mankind. The evidence for the resurrection is so powerful that it would stand up in any court of law.
You can meet and hear Dr. John Warwick Montgomery making a legal case for the resurrection of Christ at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, November 9th and Saturday, November 10th in Dallas, Texas. You'll find a conference schedule and you can register at issuesetc.org.
You can teach lay people theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When pastors talk about us, they call us ad crucem. When laity mention us, they speak of ad crucem. When non-Lutherans address us, they say ADC Rucam. But no matter how you say it, ad crucem is the place to go for greeting cards, artwork, jewelry, ornaments, housewares, church certificates, church banners, and all your gift buying needs. Visit adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through art and word. ADCRUCEM.com.
Jesus is the Word of God. He's also incarnate, born of the Virgin Mary and made man. The Lutheran Church of the Incarnate Word is all about Jesus for you. A confessional liturgical parish in the Michigan District, we invite you to worship with us in our new location at the corner of Wattles and Livernois Roads in the Troy Museum and Historic Village, Troy, Michigan. LCIW.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. This Friday afternoon, we are continuing our series on the Lutheran Confessions. At long last, we are getting to Luther's Small Catechism, an introduction today with Pastor Paul McCain, General Editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. I had a Greek professor who often say that you cannot understand what you don't know. That was to encourage us to learn the basics, the fundamentals of the Greek language, and then we could begin to understand the Greek language. I think it also applies to belief. You cannot believe what you don't know. If you don't know the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer, Paul, then how can you believe what they say? Is that essentially what Luther is saying in emphasizing the point of these things being diligently and carefully taught?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we should say this, too. If you can't be convinced to learn it because of how wonderful it is, we have to start with the law, you know, and just say, listen, you dumb brute and irrational swine, just learn this stuff, okay? And then you can grow into it. I remember Pastor Bender does a brilliant job refuting the claim, well, you can't just require people to memorize words if they don't understand them. I was in a lecture where this, like a bolt out of the blue, he said something that's always stuck with me. We do this with children all the time. We expect them to learn how to talk by learning words they don't understand, and then they grow into the meaning. That is such a brilliant observation and so self-evidently true. So also with the content of the catechism. We can't say to ourselves, oh, we can't make anybody memorize that if they don't understand the words. Well, come on. You don't understand the words you learn when you begin to speak. So also the catechism, we learn the words so we can understand the words, not the other way around.
I mean, it's illustrated with something as simple as, I wouldn't be able to tell you what my daughter's cell phone number is because I've never set it to memory, because it's just me talking into my phone saying, call Emma, and the phone remembers it for me. But if I lose my phone and I need to get a hold of her, I really, really wish I had memorized it.
I know, it's crazy. We've all had that experience now, whereas in the old days, and believe it or not, kids, one time we had to actually, quote-unquote, dial a phone and memorize phone numbers. One of the first things you were required to memorize in school was your phone number. 256-0851, that's my home phone number for when I was a kid. I couldn't recite my kids' phone numbers right now if I had to.
Yeah, 241-3933. 3530 High Vista Drive, Dallas, Texas. That was one of the very first things I ever memorized.
408 Gibbs Road, Warrington, Florida, 32507. There you go, Todd. We're so smug.
So really what we're saying here is, what Luther observes is, when it comes to memorizing the text itself, that having these things committed to memory allows a person to do what you mentioned before, and I want you to expand on it, learn by heart.
Right, and of course, we also have to understand, in Luther's day, this was the model of education, the basics. You learn the content, then you begin to digest it, and then you can start to make your own case and write about it and give speeches about it and engage in debate about it. Today, we call that classical education, but this was simply the model of education that Luther was familiar with from his own childhood, and we've moved far away from that. To our detriment, and, you know, getting back to it, when it comes to the catechism, first of all, it's short. There's not much there. You can read it anywhere you are at any time. You've got access to it for free via every media source known to man. You can carry it with you. You know, if you have a smartphone, and frankly, who doesn't these days, you have the catechism with you instantly in various ways.
Let's talk a little bit about the content, and then I want to talk about how it is Luther intended the small catechism to be taught, where he intended it to be taught as well. The content you mentioned before was, and some of it was already done for Luther, at least in its bare outline, the Ten Commandments, the Creed, and the Lord's Prayer. That predates any time Luther started working on the catechism, doesn't it?
Oh, sure. This was always the understanding in the Western Church, since time of the Middle Ages, the core text of what was known as the Catechism consisted of the text of the Ten Commandments, the Lord's Prayer, and the Creed, those three texts. And then Luther wrote his own explanations for them, and it was all in line with his recovery of the gospel.
Why the other three chief parts, and actually other parts of the Catechism, why then also baptism, in time, confession, absolution, the Lord's Supper, and then he includes even a table of duties. Why those other parts to the small catechism?
Well, again, we shouldn't leave anybody with the impression that before Luther came along, nobody was taught about these things. It's not only they were taught wrongly, but in Luther's day, the church had added so many other things to, quote-unquote, the catechism. I mean, you had to learn lists of saints and all kinds of other things. So Luther just cleared away all the clutter and focused right on the very heart of the essentials of the Christian faith. And, of course, the sacraments are an essential part of the Christian faith and had always been an essential part of the Christian faith and life since the various early days of the church. So Luther, it's not that he added these things. He basically took away a lot of extraneous information and stuck just with these basic core texts. And he was insistent that anybody who would be taking communion in our congregation should be able to recite the words of institution and to be able to explain them, to understand what they mean. In other words, that's why the Lutheran confessions say we don't give communion to anyone but those who know why they come and what it is that they seek.
So that's the basic content that we're going to be spending the remainder of our series on the Small Catechism dealing with. Let's talk about how it is Luther desired the Small Catechism to be taught.
Well, we have to be careful here. I've heard a lot of guys say, well, Luther intended the Small Catechism really, really only to be, not only, but to be used in the home by the head of the house. That is absolutely true, okay? But let's just calm down a little bit here, because the title he gave to the Small Catechism is this: the Small Catechism for Ordinary Pastors and Preachers. That's what was put on these placards, these one-page printed cards, so that pastors and preachers could teach pupils sitting in front of them with these large cards. So we shouldn't so bifurcate between where the catechism's used. Now, that's the downside of that is we don't want to leave anybody with the impression that I, in my house, shouldn't use the Small Catechism. That's just what they use in a classroom when they teach the kids confirmation. There's a danger of our traditional practice of confirmation. It's viewed as a one-time, you know, one-shot deal, and once you're done, you graduate, you don't have to worry about it again. That's just the opposite of what Luther intended, because elsewhere he makes it very clear that these texts are to be taught in the home by the head of the house and used daily.
Does he go into any detail as to how that actually goes about, what actually that involves?
Sure. Luther intended the questions and answers to be the key to the catechism. In fact, we need to maybe back up a bit and talk about what, you know, this word catechesis or catechisms, where does this come from? The term catechism derives from a Greek word, kat echo. Those are two words put together, and it means to sound back and forth. And if you hear the word echo in there, exactly, the word echo comes from this Greek word. Unshameless plug here for Fisk's latest book called Echo, where he walks through basically the content of the catechism in his own creative Fisky way. But the catechetical method of teaching, this, the teacher asks a question, the students recite an answer, that's rooted in very early classical Greek and Roman educational methodology and was used throughout the Middle Ages. The teacher would ask a question, the student responds with a fixed and set answer, and so it goes, echoing back and forth. Repetition and recitation of material is what was used then and even now to make sure that the students really are soaking this up. We want them to learn the words, the phrases, and then grow into understanding the concepts.
So did they have in mind that the father would sit down, not only, we should point out, not only with the children, but with the entire household? He's charged to teach everybody, wife, children, anybody else who happens to be hanging around there. Sitting down and formally saying, we are going to learn the Ten Commandments. Is that the kind of picture that Luther had in mind?
Exactly. No more complicated than that. It's not hard. People sometimes are afraid of something because they feel that, oh, I want to make sure I do it right. Well, just take the text of the catechism and start saying it back and forth to each other. And of course, you're going to help. When people stumble, when they falter, you're going to help them repeat it. You're going to help them say it. But I tell you what, the younger the child is, they're like little sponges. I mean, you can go on the internet and find YouTube videos of little children reciting, you know, these texts with great ease. Their minds just soak it up. And here's another cool thing, Todd, we've done, and Luther himself intended this because he wrote hymns, putting the basically paraphrases of his own catechism to music. We have recordings of the Small Catechism, word for word, set to music. And when you can sing something, you memorize it even more quickly. So that's a great option, too, if you want to try that. But otherwise, you just sit at the table and, you know, you shouldn't bite off. And no one should feel compelled. Every night, we're going to cover the entire catechism. I mean, my goodness, that'll be such a drudgery. You know, take one commandment, recite it, talk about it, discuss it. In the Old Testament, God told his people, these are the very words I want you to have on the tip of your tongue, to discuss it when you're out and about with your friends, to discuss it with your family. It's just that simple.
We're talking with Pastor Paul McCain about Luther's Small Catechism, getting an introduction in our series on the Lutheran Confessions. Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, forms servants in Jesus Christ who teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155, Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana. When we come back, another thing that recommends as a tool for not just catechesis and education, but for memorization, is the economy of words in Luther's Small Catechism. Stay tuned.
Some Bible passages make us more uncomfortable than others. Take, for example, any passage about money. But just because a topic makes us uncomfortable doesn't mean we shouldn't face it head on. That's exactly what the August issue of the Lutheran Witness has done, with articles on poverty, generosity, money management, and more. You won't want to miss it. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today. The Lutheran Witness, interpreting the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective.
This is Dr. Daniel Gard, president of Concordia University Chicago, with a message for parents, grandparents, and godparents of college-bound children. Concordia University Chicago is a distinctive, comprehensive university of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and we are committed to our Lutheran confession and heritage. Please encourage the student in your life to check out Concordia University Chicago at cuchicago.edu.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth. Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Messiah Lutheran, Seattle, Washington. Grace Lutheran, McPherson, Kansas. St. Paul's Lutheran, Bridgeport, Nebraska. Our Savior Lutheran, Raleigh, North Carolina. St. Paul Lutheran, Hancock, Maryland. Messiah Lutheran, Keller, Texas. St. John's Lutheran, Maple Grove, Minnesota. Grace Lutheran, Parker, Colorado. And Our Redeemer Lutheran, Harrington, Kansas. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, and click support. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll advertise your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
O Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 8:30 Central, 9:30 Eastern, 7:30 Mountain, and 6:30 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life.
Amen.
Welcome back. 10 more minutes in our conversation introducing Luther's Small Catechism as a part of our ongoing series on the Lutheran Confessions with Pastor Paul McCain, General Editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions, and Publisher and Executive Director of Editorial for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. Paul, if you would, talk a little bit about the economy of words in Luther's Small Catechism.
Right, and particularly with the Ten Commandments and the meanings of the Creed, there's a it sings, really. And I know this is the case even more so in the original German. You know, German speakers will always say, oh, but if you can only if you can only have it in German again. I was like, okay, I understand, but we do the best we can. But particularly in the original language of German, it's even more sharp and to the point. I mean, right, Luther spares no words. I mean, it's beautifully crafted. That's what makes it memorable, right? It lends itself toward memorization because you're not trying to rattle on for paragraphs and paragraphs.
Luther, in his preface to the Small Catechism, leans heavily on Deuteronomy 6, the famous passage that pertains in its context to, I believe, the Ten Commandments in particular and all the things that go along with them. Why does Luther do this?
Well, he's right in line with what the Lord intended for his people of the Old Testament, that they were to make a point of dwelling on his 10 words, or as it's put literally, the law of God. And so Luther wanted the Christian family and the Christian congregation and the Christian pastor to continue to recite these things to, again, it's not just merely reciting them, but also commenting on what they mean. And it's the fundamentals. You know, every endeavor in life depends on how well you execute the fundamentals, and you have to keep going back to the fundamentals. Anything that requires that kind of fundamental points of performance is a perishable skill. You can't just say, I'm going to go out and learn golf today, and then expect to be able to do it well 5 years without ever practicing the fundamental points of performance of the golf swing. I don't play golf. I played it enough to know that that's the case. You've got to master the fundamentals. In any activity of life, you can't take anything for granted. Marriage, work, and most importantly of all, the Christian faith and life.
He even pictured, in some cases, this kind of instruction taking place between an employer, and I think he may be thinking here in more medieval terms, but an employer and his employees as well.
Well, right. And of course, he was specifically thinking, you have to understand, Luther's own house, this giant former monastery, contained lots of servants. And as master of the house, these servants would be required also to attend this daily instruction by the house father, the master of the house. And if they were unwilling to do these things, they would be dismissed. Likewise, during the visitations of Lutheran congregations, ultimately, if they found pastors who either would not or could not preach competently and preach faithfully, they were dismissed. People say, oh, that's so legalistic. Well, you know, otherwise, it means nothing. Now, today, I think it would probably be fairly impossible for a secular employer to require all his employees to sit down every day and memorize Luther's Small Catechism. Be nice, but that's not what Luther's really referring to.
He has very bare bones of kind of a curriculum in his preface to the Small Catechism. It begins with learning the primary texts. Then once everyone's learned the primary text, then they learn the meanings that are attached to those texts. And then as kind of an adjunct, he would say, when you've got all that, then go on to the large catechism. There's more there. There's more detail there. Talk about that method.
Right. Again, very simply put, and Luther is particularly, and I'm quoting from his introduction to the Small Catechism address to pastors, and he's very clear on this, and this is still very true for today. Maybe when you preach in the presence, as he puts it, of learned and intelligent people, you may show your skill, but I think that's a pretty rare situation, frankly. Otherwise, the preacher should preach simply and clearly in words that can be easily, quickly understood and that will hold the attention of the hearers. And he advises with young people, and frankly with anybody, we should stick to one fixed permanent form and manner. That is, just try not to change the words every few years on them. So we teach the commandments, the creed, the Lord's Prayer, word for word, so that they too can repeat it in the same way after you and commit it to memory. And then I'm referring here to the introduction as it's found in the Concordia edition, paragraph 11. He says some pretty strong things, doesn't he, Todd? He says, those who are unwilling to learn the catechism should be told they deny Christ and are not Christians. They should not be admitted to the sacrament, accepted as sponsors of baptism, or practice any part of Christian freedom. They should just go back to the Pope and his officials, indeed to the devil himself.
Why was using one fixed text so important to Luther?
Well, for the sake of not confusing people, and in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, we've got a very good example of this. oh gosh, I think we're coming up on 11 years now with our newest hymnal, but the Synod and Convention was very concerned that we not print a new hymnal with a new form of the Small Catechism in it, because we had come from an experience where the previous hymnal actually changed horses midstream when it came to the text of the catechism itself. We went from an older text of the catechism published in the 1940s to one that had come out in the 1980s, and so you had hymnals out there for a while, referring to Lutheran worship, not for a while, but for the life of that hymnal, had two different forms of the text in it. And so if you tried to use that hymnal to say the catechism together, you had some people saying these and thous, and other people not saying these and thous. So when we came out with the newest hymnal in our church called Lutheran Service Book, we retained the text of the catechism as we had it from 1986 or so. So we've had the same English form of the Small Catechism for a number of decades now, which is a very good thing.
How successful at Luther's time was this remedy, the Small Catechism, to the problems that he and the other reformers observed?
Well, you know, actually, once things really got going and where there was a faithful application of Luther's Reformation, as the church became organized, and that's why I said before, it wasn't that the Reformation went off the rails. It wasn't even on the rails. They had to get the train moving. They had, you know, had the steam built up. Everything was ready to go, but they'd had to go out among the parishes. But once it had, let me just shut up and give you an amazing statistic I found from a book titled Luther's House of Learning, Indoctrination of the Young in the German Reformation. 100,000 copies of Luther's Catechism with its table of duties were published by 1562 and learned by acolytes and midwives. Parish preachers would come from the lower classes and were in fact close to the people, and they were urged by the electoral Saxon constitution. This is interesting. Urged pastors, quote, not to shame the boys and girls, but to treat them in a friendly, brotherly manner so that they may look forward to the examination with heartfelt desire and joy rather than fear. That's an amazing number. 100,000 copies in a day when they had to print everything by hand. So the catechism took off like wildfire, frankly, and even to this day, it's the most widely known thing that Luther ever wrote. Without any fear of contradiction, I regularly say that the text of Luther's Catechism is the single most used document in any language where it's available to teach the Christian faith, and has been since the time of the Reformation.
Before we let you go, Paul, what can you tell us about our book of the month for August? It's Luther's Small Catechism. It's with the explanations, but it's a visual edition, new last year. What can you tell us about that?
Yeah, this is one of a trio of formats in which we have now provided the latest edition of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's Catechism, and then the explanation of Luther's Catechism, which is a helpful teaching tool as well. But this particular one, it's printed in a different size, format, style, and we are using a kind of graphical treatment which younger people are familiar with, if you're familiar with infographics, the kind of art that's throughout this. And you can take a look on our website at samples. But we basically are trying to put all the content out there in a little bit more accessible format, lots of room for notes, lots of helps and things like that, and just visually appealing. So we're going to keep tweaking and tinkering with the various formats we can print and publish.
You can find out more about this visual edition of Luther's Small Catechism with Explanation at our website, issuesetc.org. You can call Concordia Publishing House and order it and see it for yourself, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Paul McCain is publisher and executive director of editorial for Concordia Publishing House, and he's general editor of Concordia, the Lutheran Confessions. Next week, we'll talk with Pastor McCain about the first commandment in Luther's Small Catechism. Paul, thanks.
Thank you, Todd. God bless.
In hour two of Issues Etc. on this Friday afternoon, first, we are going to respond to a recent op-ed in the New York Times titled, Think the Constitution Will Save Us, Think Again. Dr. Russell Don will be our guest, director of the pre-law program at Concordia University, Irvine, California. Then we're going to play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We've got our four soundbites. We'll play them for you. And after you've listened, you can give us a call and vote, 1-877-623-6943. Hour two of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Hello, this is Pastor Kevin Golden of Village Lutheran Church in Ladue, Missouri. The saints at Village Lutheran are proud to be part of the Issues Etc. 300, sharing in their Christ-centered, cross-focused proclamation of the gospel. If you find yourself in St. Louis, join us on Sundays at 8:15 and 10:45 for the Divine Service, 9:30 for Bible study and Sunday school, as we receive Christ's gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. Or visit us on the web at www.villagelutheranchurch.org.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
The church's music from the second century.
Shepherd of tender youth, guiding in love and truth.
The sixth century. The 12th century. The 16th century. The 21st century. The best of the church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois offers ACT, SAT, and PSAT test prep, scholarship application classes, college and career counseling, and more. Hi, this is Lori Konski, president of College Preparation Station. We have helped our students obtain more than $7 million in tuition scholarships in 12 years. Find out more at cpsprep.com. Let us help you create a vision and find your future. The College Preparation Station in Maryville, Illinois, CPSPrep.com.